right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to do in the world of sports. We won't have time to cover all of it, probably, but a lot happened over the weekend as you have a Breeder Cup winner who's also a Triple Crown winner. I believe that has never happened. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, Glass, but I believe that's the case. We have a new World Series champion, and it's first time since 1985. The Kansas City Royals are a World Series champ, so congratulations to them winning the series 4-1, coming back late in the game. I believe I saw they had 40 runs from the eighth inning on in the playoffs, and the next closest team had 5. That's a stat you find on Twitter, so take it with a grain of salt, but it's a pretty emphatic one if it is. NFL weekend, of course, with the Colts coming up here in just a little while. We'll take you to the pregame of Bob Lamy's broadcast at 7:30 tonight, so we'll be with you until then. Colts at Carolina, and we'll talk Colts a little bit later in the show. Another college football weekend, of course, coming up. The Hoosiers had the week off, so we'll talk about their game at home against Iowa this coming Saturday, a lot on Wednesday night. But we start tonight with our first look at a scrimmage for the IU basketball team, bringing in some new players. Of course, Thomas Bryant in the middle, but also Juwan Morgan and OG Anunoby. You got to help me again if we're doing that right, but that's what it looks like to me.
Sounds good.
But we have the benefit of the PA announcer joining us in studio tonight. So he was front and center for the entire thing. Mike Glasscott joining us tonight. And Mike, thanks for joining us, first
My
of all.
My pleasure. Every Monday I try to catch the program.
It's fantastic.
It's a great show.
We really appreciate you being
here. I love these long ones that go on Mondays, too.
And we can't pay you, so that's the best part, is that you're joining us anyways for free. Well, let's talk a little bit about this, because the guy who stood out to everyone in the press, because, again, putting up some stats is always going to put your name in the highlights, is OG. But let's talk about everybody out there. But let's talk about OG first, because the first thing we don't want to do is make him into, Calbert Chaney. But let's talk about the game he had. And we thought maybe he was the one that wouldn't contribute much on that freshman class, but he's got a body maybe ready to go now.
He does. He looks like he's solidly put together. And from a talent standpoint, he didn't look out of place, and no one did really on the floor. And that's a good problem to have if you're Indiana basketball and you're being talked about in the top 15 nationally. You got to have guys that can obviously play the game and do that. He doesn't do anything great, Dave, but it didn't look like he had a ton of weaknesses either. Everybody new to the college game from either prep school or transferring from other conferences always has work to do on the defensive end, but I think that's where he made his biggest mark. He was active. He has an extremely long wingspan, which can get into passing lanes without having to cheat and do other things, so that was helpful. He was a garbage man around the basket, keeping balls alive, picking steals, handled the ball decently, had a couple jumpers that they looked good. They weren't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to be the best pure shooter we've seen since James Blackman Jr. That's silly, but it was nice to see him. And Juwan Morgan. Juwan Morgan offensively looked like he didn't have any problem fitting in, getting to the basket, taking open looks. So it's always encouraging, because what you don't want to see in these things is like, hey, come on, let's go, let's get it moving, let's get fired up.
Would you say more big guy bodies for Morgan and OG than, say, a Troy Williams, who's more of a slasher?
They stood right in front of me, and side by side by side, all three of them. And if you put a gun to my head, I'd tell you that Williams is the smallest of the three. Uh-huh. They list them all at 6'7".
Right.
Now, Morgan has the advantage because he has the hair. But I was looking at shoulder height,
right,
and the shoulder height went kind of in a steps. It kind of went
a little down
to Anunoby and a little down to Troy.
Gotcha.
So if they're listing Troy at 6'7", and he's 6'5", and these guys are 6'6", 6'7", or they're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", whatever it could be, they do have some bodies that look like they can handle the rigors. Now, we know the rigor of the Big Ten is just as much mental as it is physical.
Sure.
We know the rigors of college life in general isn't all about what you do on the basketball floor. But they looked the part, and you know my thing on that, Dave, and I don't mean to be critical when I say it, but I am. You should look that way to play for IU. We shouldn't have to bring in guys that have to either be forced into the 10-deep rotation, where you say, geez, if he could just get another year or two under his belt in the gym or whatever else. So I don't know if it's the sand pit. I don't know if it's Lionel Anderson. I don't know if these kids were that thick when they came in, but they looked the part. Morgan wears a little harness on his shoulder, so I don't know what, if that's bothering him at all or if that's a precautionary issue. But when they put the ball in the basket on the floor, they didn't look like they were guys that have never played basketball before. And it's not a backhanded compliment. It means they look ready. They were quiet in the sense to fans because they weren't ranked 33rd and 39th in the country. They were kind of middle-of-the-road recruits, right? Aren't they in like the 100 to 150 range?
Yeah.
So they look to be, again, one scrimmage, 26 minutes. They looked not out of place at all. They looked comfortable with the tempo, the physicality. They didn't shy away from any contact. So I think that's positive for Indiana moving forward, because one of the biggest questions coming into this year wasn't backcourt depth. That doesn't seem to be the issue with Blackman, Yogi, Zeisloft, and Rob Johnson. You got four guys there that can obviously play and have shown you they can play.
Sure.
It's up front. You've got Troy Williams and brand new Thomas Bryant and brand new OG and brand new Juwan Morgan. So how those guys acclimate and get used to college basketball, I think, is going to be one of those things that keeps Indiana in that top 15, top 10-ish discussion. Or do they have to grow into those roles moving forward? They look ahead of the curve, maybe to, and this isn't, again, picking on anybody, but they look more advanced than Tim Priller, Jeremiah April, some of those right. tweener guys. Even Hunter. Hunter had the wonderful athleticness prowess with him, you know, just the chiseled body, whatever. But these guys, basketball-wise, are more advanced than that. And they're just, you know, they're not 6'9", okay? So that doesn't ring the bell. They're in that tweener 3'4" type area.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't think you can never have enough guys like that who can come in, play at the rim, rebound, have long arms, block shots, get in passing lanes, and that's encouraging for IU fans.
333-2665 is our phone number. OG finished with 17 points, or 15 points, rather, in the scrimmage as a
Yeah, got him from everywhere,
scored.
Too.
Again, there was not official statistics that were out there.
No, but he was, Dave, it wasn't garbage points. It wasn't just fast break points. It was mid-range jumpers, got to the foul line. He did get some rebounds, did get some easy buckets as well, but he was problematic defensively, and I thought that was a positive. That was probably the most positive I can say. A lot of people look at the box score for that.
Rebounds, four steals, did have two turnovers. But again, you know, if you look at this class, I mean, obviously Thomas Bryant is going to get all the accolades going in. He's the big guy.
He's a big man.
He's the highest rated guy.
he's
certainly
fella.
A large man for that center position, a spot that the Hoosiers need pretty desperately. So he's the guy that everybody's going to be paying attention to. To me, it's nice to hear what we're hearing about Morgan and OG because...
somebody out we need to talk about too. Max Beal felt, to me, stuck out. He stuck out like a sore thumb.
Again, the weakness for this team is obviously up front.
And that's
so
the part
how
I left
do
out.
They solve all that? I mean, it's not just up front with a body, but it's up front with the depth, as we know, because of the offseason. So having OG, having Morgan, and putting in Max even for only a year, I mean, these guys are going to be huge because you're still going to have to deal with maybe one, maybe two positions overall, needing your fouls there, needing to find defense and rebounding there. This was a decent rebounding team last year for a small team, but it needs some big guys in there that can beat out and get to the glass.
The one thing that jumped off the page from Bielefeld, there are two things, actually. He has legs like tree trunks.
Mm-hmm.
So moving him out of spots is going to be difficult.
They said he increased his squat by 150 pounds in one offseason.
His calves are as wide as your torso.
Wow.
He looks like a tight end.
And I'm a large guy.
But he doesn't look big out there because OG and Morgan are more streamlined, and Bryant is obviously a monster, but Biafra is solid. And he was the best finisher of the day around the basket, and that includes Bryant because he knew how to throw his body. He's confident in his moves.
Yeah.
He's got really good balance. He stepped out and hit a few jumpers as well, or a couple jumpers. No one's hit a few because the scoring doesn't reflect that. But he looked confident. He didn't look bothered by the occasion. He didn't look bothered by changing of defenses, running different out-of-bounds plays. He looked like a guy who had played Big Ten basketball before, and that's exactly what you wanted coming in. Is he going to play 35 minutes a game and give you 10-8? Boy, that'd be nice. But he doesn't look like that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not going to score as well in the league against bigger teams just because he's like that 6'8", 6'9", type player. But he plays hard and he plays smart. He wasn't dumb fouls, wasn't reaching around. He was pushing Bryant out properly in the post where Bryant couldn't get comfortable, so he understands that aspect of post play in the league. You know, you had big-time referees there.
Yeah.
This wasn't just call your own fouls and the coaches would stop it.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing a game-like situation, but he was confident. I think he knocked down a three even. But again, those are the pieces to the puzzle. The backcourt in the wing is okay. It's just that it's what are you going to do at the 3.5 and higher?
Right.
And I think, at least against playing each other, saw some improvement in that and obviously saw some depth. And it wasn't turnover after turnover. That was the other interesting thing. thing. The game got sloppy at times. Of course, it always does. These guys love to get out and run.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're going to have some mistakes. But all in all, a good start. It wasn't you sat there and just had your head in your hand going, geez, quit turning it over, will you?
Right.
Didn't happen. So that was good stuff. And the backcourt matchups were interesting as well.
Yeah, we don't make too much just now about the freshmen, but nice to hear that at the very least they may be able to contribute.
Moving in the right direction.
We need the depth, no question about it. More IU basketball when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Reminder again, we're with you until 7:30 tonight with the Colts on Monday Night Football. We will have that for you, but we will have the Colts broadcast. So Bob Lamy takes over 7:30, a little earlier than normal for us tonight, with a full hour of Colts pregame leading into Monday Night Football. Colts at Carolina, and we'll preview that game here in just a little while. But first, we've got some scrimmages out on the floor and now on a bit of tape for people to kind of take a look at. Glass, you were there the other night. I watched 2 minutes worth of the Hall of Hoops highlights, so it's the highlights. It's not all the turnovers, even though it doesn't sound like there were thousands of those.
Well, there weren't.
But one thing I noticed, and again, so much focus is going to be on Thomas Brown because he's the new addition and the big name new addition.
And
to
that
this
was the
team.
Piece they were missing last year. They were missing
Absolutely.
That post presence.
The big guy in there. He sounds like he's a big guy and he's a guy who can play offense and defense as a big guy. What intrigued me in looking at the highlights was how, when he got the ball, how quickly and how well he was looking to distribute the ball from the post. Now, he's not going to be a point forward and he's going to have 8 assists a game, I wouldn't think. But to me, it's a skill set. It's just adding on to the skill set of the big guy. I don't know how he's going to do in the Big Ten, as a back to the basket post. Again, you saw more of the game, so maybe you can tell us that and on the defensive side. But I like the fact that he looks like a guy that gets and sees the whole field and can distribute the ball also, because he's got a whole bunch of slashers on this team that can get to the basket.
He does, and I think his feel for basketball is good. You're not going to have to worry about teaching him the game. And he's not a project big fella. He can catch the ball. He's got pretty good feet. Around the basket, he's just going to have to learn to finish through guys that are 4 years older than him that mm-hmm. weigh as much as he do, if not more, but just aren't – he's not going to be taller. And everybody
are they getting Bielfeld on him a lot to
yes.
try to give him
bang
that look?
Him, bang him and bang him inside. And sometimes, again, when he caught the ball in the post, he almost wasn't selfish enough for me. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's being the new guy doesn't want to step on some toes, or he's waiting for the double team, or he's waiting to see where it is, which all of that incorporates good post basketball play. You catch it and you assess where you're at.
Right.
You just don't have to turn it right into a double team, boom, travel, offensive foul, whatever it is. That doesn't help. Big guys get fouls other ways. You don't want them getting them doing that. You want them being aggressive on the boards or blocking shots. Or whatever that point is. But he could distribute the basketball. He had no problem with that. I think he took a couple threes, maybe one just inside of it. Mm-hmm. Form at the foul line looked good, so shooting the basketball is not the big deal. But again, I don't know if you want 6'10", 6'11", however big he is, and he's a big fella. I don't want that to be the best part of his game. It's a nice release to have, mm-hmm. I'd like to see him a little bit more aggressive in the post. Tom Crean has told us multiple times over the last couple of weeks that he's had a foot injury. He's been in a walking boot, so I don't know how comfortable he is yeah. getting in there and mixing it up just yet. But you can see the potential in him. He runs the floor extremely well. He doesn't take plays off. They don't have to encourage him to get involved. So I think those are very helpful things, and that's how you get to be a recruit with that kind of ranking next to your name. You shouldn't have to be coddled and pushed with the stick. That doesn't seem to be the issue at all. Getting up and down the floor, again, that's not going to be a bother. It's going to be, though, for me, the speed of the game in the post as compared to just, hey, I'm bigger than everybody, I'm going to turn and shoot it.
Right.
So
well, we
that,
saw
all that development's going to need to
I
take
mean, we
place.
Saw Cody Zeller struggle a bit
yes.
in a couple games with that also, just the physicality. I mean, the Michigan State game up there his freshman year got taken completely out of it. So, I mean, it can certainly happen, and it probably will for a freshman. In the post, he's got the ball, not looking to pass, but to shoot. Skill set-wise, I mean, what do you see? Is this a hook shot over both shoulders?
Didn't
is
see
it,
any of that.
Is it a turn around and face-up game? What do you see?
He looked a little more reserved to me in the post play. Again, I'm trying to work and do this all at the same time, sure. So I haven't gone back over the tape either. But when he catches the ball in the post, he's not in a hurry, and that's not the worst thing to be an 18-year-old kid. And mm-hmm. I think that's a huge thing to remember, because when you assess your bearings and assess where you are, you mentioned it, Indiana has a bunch of slashers. It might not be the best thing to do for you to turn and go. Exactly. You can spread the floor, become harder to guard, where people have to force help onto you, and if the help doesn't come, you assess the situation and try to take your man one-on-one or try to do that. They weren't running offense specifically for him, which I don't think that's a surprise to anybody here.
Sure.
They didn't do that for Zeller. They didn't do it for Vonleh either. Right. It's not a meritocracy per se. It's a move the ball and find the best option and the quickest option you can find. Mm-hmm. So the more jumpers that Zeisloff and Blackman and Yogi knock down, that's going to open things up for Bryant, where he might not have as much clutter in the paint, but we saw a few times him catching the ball and those cutters coming. He was aware enough to give him a good pass. He wasn't fumbling the ball, catching it. And those are, again, if you're a big prospect, those things should already be happening, and they are. So sure. that's a positive sign. He sees the floor well. He moves the ball well. He only got tied up once or twice, which isn't bad, because sometimes big fellas still bring the ball down.
Right.
And you're not stronger than everybody. When guys are 22 and 23, you're not stronger than everybody anymore, where you can just rip it out of them. So little things to work on, but I overall think the athleticism is there. Maybe he caught one on the break. On the fast break, kind of an awkward pass, kind of got lost in his feet a little bit. But again, when you're 6'10", 6'11", running full speed,
right.
I'm not expecting you to stop on the dime.
Look, if we get turnovers, 333-2665 is a phone number. If we get turnovers because we're pushing the ball and trying to get up and down the court, they don't want turnovers, but I think they're going to accept a few of those. It's the dumber turnovers they don't want. If they're being aggressive getting down the field, I think you're
the dumb turnover is dribbling it, pick your head up, no-look pass, winging it one-handed, and go six rows
right.
up. That's the problem you can get. The other thing I noticed about Bryant, which I think is very beneficial, he's not a fouling machine.
Good.
It did not stand out to him. It was like, geez, he's just hacked four guys in a row. That's a bad deal. You don't want that. That wasn't the case. So he kind of plays within himself. You maybe like to have him be a hair more aggressive, but again, getting this boot off, getting only a certain amount of minutes. They're going to keep the minutes low on him to make sure that this season doesn't end for him on February 1st because he's exhausted, worn out, and everything else.
And, of course, this is from the Haunted Hall of Hoops on Saturday night. OG Anunoby made some waves, I suppose, with 15 points, and mostly because I think there's not a lot of expectations out of OG. I think the expectation is Juwan Morgan.
It's a pleasant surprise, both of them.
Juwan may be able to contribute a little bit more early. Certainly Thomas Bryant is a big focus.
Well,
but
another thing that jumped out for me, just on a wholesome thing, it wasn't Yogi and Blackman trading shots.
Right.
I thought that was very positive. The ball did move. The ball did it almost over-moved, because you could hear a couple shoot it, and it'd be one more pass, or I'm thinking about it. You got to be ready to catch it and shoot it in the offense, Dave, whether you're Blackman, whether you're Biefeldt, whether you're Zeisloff, because the ball's going to move, and that's the good thing. Troy played one of his better games, and what stuck out to me was his decision-making. You didn't have Troy head down into the lane. Who knows
right,
what happens?
Right.
Sure, he missed a three. Sure, he had an air ball here. Those are things that are going to grow when his jump shot grows with game speed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, when you're shooting in a gym, or you're shooting off a rack,
right.
That's different than having a guy sweating.
You're not
well,
hurried.
OG in his 7'3" wingspan isn't trying to run you down.
Right.
You shoot it a little bit differently. So those are things that I think, again, the more practice time, the more game time is going to – everybody should and has shown they will get better.
James Blackman listed as 17 points, Troy Williams 13.
Swish.
Thomas Bryant, 15, Yogi, 11, Nick Zeisloff, 9, Juwan Morgan, 8. So just some brief looks there at some of the scoring.
Zeisloff did exactly what you wanted to do. I think he hit three threes for his 9 points. That's what it is.
Look,
he sits in the
corner. The floor. Yeah.
Sit in the corner, they throw it to you, you make it. Boom. Blackman Jr. was interesting because the guards were split in two and two, and it was Yogi and
Robert
on one side and James Blackman and Zeisloff on the other side.
Hmm.
So Blackman Jr. was handling the ball for the red team, and then Yogi and Rob Johnson will alternate for the most part on the white
team. And let's
talk,
again, 333-2665 is a phone number. Let's talk a little bit about the backcourt. A lot's been made out of James Blackman's knee injury, but also he's going to improve over the course of the season, because obviously he has NBA aspirations, but it's been defense, and it's been ball handling. Before we get to defense, let's talk ball handling, because they're talking about moving him, not IU, but eventually him being more of a ball handler at the next level.
And even at this level, because you can never have enough enough guys, because what did we talk about last time with the new rule change dropping down to 30, you're going to see more press, token press. So if you're going to put Yogi under the screws for 38 and a half minutes, which is going to play every night, you need to give him a mental break.
You got to get into it with a number of different people.
Exactly. And Johnson can provide that. Obviously, Blackman Jr. can provide it. But what you don't see is Blackman Jr. usually plays in a T-shirt, right? He didn't in the scrimmage. He's not a small guy.
Yeah,
he's 6'3", 190 pounds, or 6'4", 195. I mean, he's not getting knocked off the ball. He's got arms where he can hold you off nicely. And folks, please don't worry. There's nothing. His knee has not affected his jump shot at all. The rim was mainly there for decoration.
Good.
As swish, swish, and swish. But again, he wasn't forcing shots. It was, if this is going to be the way forward, I don't know what the pep talk was before it. I don't know what the team talks were at the quarter breaks or halftime. It looked more relaxed. It didn't look as helter-skelter-y in cases where, hey, I'm kind of open. Maybe it's the depth now. Maybe you see all these guys into the scoring because it's not that first half good shot we're taking.
Right.
Maybe it's the third or fourth pass and we get a better shot. And I think that's been the message. But the message that it's now being accepted, and you have a better talent pool of guys doing it. Let's be fair. Emmett Thomas wasn't going to step out and hit jumpers. Hunter Perea, Stan Robinson, they were really limited. And even Troy Williams last year. All in that 8-foot space, that's a lot of guys in the same area.
We've got a few guys that had to improve certain parts of the game.
And it makes you easier to guard when you're all clogging that same area. So now with the floor spread, you saw guys get into space. Sure, would you like the penetration to be stopped a little more? Of course. That's why you practice. No coaches ever came to the podium after the game and said, that's perfect.
We did everything we wanted.
Exactly right.
Everything.
The shutout was great. It's never happened before.
That's right.
And we're gonna try another one tomorrow.
Right.
But
nobody finishes with
what
zero.
What you didn't see was quick. You saw fast, or whatever the opposite is of that. Mm-hmm. You saw guys moving in the right plays at a good pace, but you didn't say fast decisions.
Yeah.
You saw good, quick. The ball moved sharply. They were on them about that the entire time, which it should be that way, especially when you have guys that can spread the floor. And then the more they spread it, the more room Bryant has. And, again, you can just start. You want to cheat on Bryant, Morgan knocked down some jump shots, and away you go.
And, look, when they moved the ball well last year, it was a thing of beauty to watch on the offensive side.
But there was a few guys that would catch it, and it wouldn't go in.
It wouldn't go, yeah.
Now you maybe have a couple extra guys that can either get to the rim or find Bryant at the rim, and that's the way. The easy shots, the free throws, that's going to open up the threes. And if you get into some transition with these long-arm defenders, that isn't going to hurt either.
There's another side of the ball we haven't discussed much, the defensive side. Big improvement needed on that side. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on there when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick programming notes. Again, we're with you until 7:30 tonight. The full hour-long Bob Lamy pregame of the Colts radio broadcast tonight of Monday Night Football is the broadcast we will be carrying, as we do throughout the entire season. So on Monday night, we start a little earlier there, 7:30, Colts at Carolina. There is the first exhibition of the year for IU basketball tomorrow night, so Joe Smith Sports Talk will not be live tomorrow night. We will be back with you Wednesday, 6 o'clock, NFL, football again on Thursday, Cleveland at Cincinnati, the still undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. And then Friday night, we've got sectional championship football hosted at South, by South, of course, with the Terre Haute North Patriots coming to town. Chalk Talk 6:30 and kickoff 7 o'clock. For that, 333-2665 is the phone number. IU basketball now, two scrimmages in the book, a exhibition tomorrow night that will not be on television. You can get it online. There is a subscription for that. I believe you can go on a monthly basis on that, but it's against Ottawa, the one team in Canada last year that beat them on that trip last year. So
and
it's
the
a
next,
formidable opponent, at least.
And the exhibition next Monday is on that same to go, and I believe the first game.
That's correct. Eastern Illinois.
I think you get three
the 13th
of them. So
is
if they
BTN
charge
plus.
If they charge it $20 for the month or whatever. At least you're getting three games.
I believe it's $9.95 for a month. And
perfect. With taxes, $4 a game, and there you go.
There you go. So, and it is three games at this point.
And the good news about the BTN to go is you can go back and watch it at your convenience if you do not catch it. They have an archive where you can go back and look. So if you are busy or whatever it is, it's not one of those deals you lose it and it goes away.
Looking forward, IPFW on the 9th of December is also listed as a BTN Plus game.
That's month number two. That's where they get you.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So you have to. So your $20 gets you four games.
There you go. 333-2665 is the phone number.
Again, the fine print.
The other side of the ball, because it's easy to track points and assists and rebounds to talk about how great those numbers are. Let's talk about the other side. We've got a pair of freshmen that look awfully good in a couple of scrimmages. We've got James Blackman going for 17. We've got Nick Zyslov hitting threes all over the place. Troy Williams showing a grounded game. Does this mean the defense isn't there?
No.
The question.
It means that when Indiana's firing on cylinders offensively, they're very difficult to guard, and you have to give to give.
Even by themselves.
Well, if you want to play everybody straight up, you're going to have some problems with the guys we have that can beat you off the dribble, like Yogi Ferrell and Troy Williams. Those are guys that can get to it. So if you're not going to be aware of their surroundings, that's fine. But again, we talked about it in the last segment. When Indiana makes the extra pass or extra pass and a half, they get even better shots.
Yeah.
It's not the forced, I'm in the lane, I got no one to kick it to because no one's paying attention because we're young and we're not doing this or doing that, so I got to shoot it. It's not the case anymore. Guys are being smart. They're keeping the floor spaced. And with only Thomas Bryant being the true post or Bielfeld on the other side being the true, you don't have a lot of congestion in there as well. So these things will help the offense. The other part will help the offense is their willingness to share it because they trust in one another.
Right.
And the ball moved. That was one thing that you didn't hear a lot of. The only time you heard it was maybe that extra pass. Move it one more time. Swing it one more time because maybe you don't see the guy in the corner. That's the coaching helping you out. But when the ball would move from corner to top to corner or wing corner top, whatever, and the defense shifts, then you get driving lanes. Then you get driving kick lanes. Or then you throw it to the post and guys start moving. You didn't stand around and watch, and I think that's encouraging because that means they're getting it, and that means that they're seeing the labor, the fruits of their labor. That's the key.
And again, a couple games last year, I can think of the Maryland game here. You know, the ball movement and the offense was just flat.
But
sexy.
Why did that? Why was it sexy?
Because it kept moving it. I mean, it was
and went in the basket.
Well, of course, but it was constantly finding the open guy, and that was the point. Was it an extra pass? Was it an extra two passes?
Exactly.
Swinging it to the other side, whatever it was, they found that guy.
You know my joke. It's a lot easier to make dunks and layups than it is threes. Mm-hmm. But if you have guys that can knock down wide open threes, you'll gladly take the extra point. But you've got to have more. You have to have multiple threats on that level. And I think Indiana, I don't think they gained any per se, but they have some more guys that can take you off the dribble, which will open that up. Last year, Indiana wasn't very difficult to guard. James Blackman didn't hit you off the dribble very often.
That's right.
Robert Johnson was kind of a tweener. He wasn't sure what his strongest part of his game was.
He wasn't real aggressive with the ball, but
Troy, you just had to stand 2 feet off of him and beat him to the spot.
I mean, it's hard to guard, but certainly you stay off him.
He's going to be harder to guard now when he gets any confidence and gets that jump shot rolling. And when you have the guy in the middle, you know what he does? He tips balls out for rebounds. I don't know if they count those as rebounds, but he keeps plays alive. Bielfeld had, what, you told me, nine?
Team rebound, maybe.
Sure. Bielfeld had nine by
that's
himself. You know why? Because he knows that's his job.
Yeah, well,
and when
that's
part of the maturity we're talking about.
He
didn't go out and shoot threes because he needed to.
Right.
He did because he was wide open at the top of the key and was confident in his game to do so. And then, again, what's his main job? Grabbing rebounds, screening, making sure he's playing good defense, not fouling. And I think that was part of the stuff I saw. It wasn't a foul fest. One team wasn't stacked against another team. It was a pretty good matchup-wise. So I think you see a fair understanding of what's going on there. It wasn't like it was three guards, Troy and Thomas, versus whoever's left.
Sure.
They split it up pretty evenly, and you saw some guys take advantage.
333-2665 is the phone number. Again, on the defensive side, the one thing that stood out all of last year was the inability to stop ball penetration. And you could just name off all the guards, and they were all guilty of this at some point in time, and maybe all the time. I was critical of James Blackman, who I know offensively is a phenomenal talent, a great shooter. But defensively, I mean, he's been told by the NBA that if he wants to get there, he's going to have to improve in that regards.
Yep.
How did he look? How did the entire backcourt look? Because, again, to me, you got some big guys in there. They can erase some mistakes from time to time that might happen if you get beat, but you can't be a sieve out front. You've got to have some kind of something defensively.
Yeah, they had some
ball.
Interesting matchups. Yogi started on Troy on the defensive end, so that right away was going to test what he was going to do decision-wise, right, or how he was going to move the ball. And Blackman was checking Yogi for a period of time as well. So active guys. And the one thing that you always hear about this team, you always hear about deflections, but you don't get any deflections if you don't get your hands up.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked better. Guys were – they looked like they were getting after it.
Yeah, we don't want to deflect with our nose.
Right.
It hurts.
And the new thing about college basketball that's – it's been going on for about a year now, but it's another point of emphasis this year is you cannot touch your opponent. So, I don't know if that helps, that hurts. I'm not sure what it's going to be.
At least until Big Ten
but
play.
There was a few fouls on the day where the referee come over the table and say, number whatever, red, armbar. Can't do it anymore.
Can't do it at all.
On the floor, you can't do it. Maybe in the post, you can do it a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you're beat on the floor, the new thing is going to be angles.
And can't bounce them.
We were talking about that during the game. If you're looking at the key, right, and a guy's got the ball on the wing and he beats you, you can't run and body
and
him down
him
the line.
The
you have
yeah.
to beat him to the spot. Or beat him, you got to play like a cornerback. You got to play the angle on the tackle, not run side by side with him.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to call all those, well, that's the last thing you want. So the teams that adapted this a little bit quicker as well, which that's kind of like a good, bad thing for IU because it's never been known to get up in you where you have to say, call the dogs back, get off them.
Sure.
Don't get up. The good thing about Indiana is their quickness. They're quick. So they can get to those spots. And if your hands are active out instead of in, ball's picked up, you get a little bit different story there. But they looked like the message was getting through. And again, it's a scrimmage. Tomorrow's opponent will tell you more of how that is because this team runs up and down the floor. They shoot it immediately. If you're grabbing your shorts or wondering if you're in zone or man, they're going to have a shot going up on you.
They have averaged 94 points in their nine games. They've played nine games so far.
And that's the other
schedule.
Thing. They're nine games into a schedule playing against other competition.
That's exactly right.
So that's why you bring them in. And tomorrow night, I'm not going to be worried about much about what Ottawa does per se in the first exhibition. I want to see how Indiana gets in transition defense. I want to see how they deal with a team that's fit. I don't expect the Hoosiers to be out running, gunning with these guys because game shape is different than practice shape. And anybody that's played that absolutely knows that's the case. But Ottawa has already beaten them in their mind. They did it last year in the summer tour.
Sure.
So I don't know who's left the roster and come onto the roster. But Indiana, if they do the things that we've seen over the last year that makes Indiana effective, I think a lot of teams are going to have some problems. And I think Ottawa's going to have some problems too because some of the pieces to the puzzle they didn't see last year. So it'll be an interesting test whether when the game speeds up, does Indiana's decision-making speed up or do they continue to move the ball, make that extra pass, or do they continue to say, oh, man, I'm kind of open. I'm going to go. And that's going to be the thing for me this year. The faster that gets figured out and is – I don't want to say reeled in because I still want them to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
But the faster the better decision-making as a unit comes together, this team could be very difficult to defend.
First exhibition tomorrow night on BTN Plus against 7 o'clock over at the Assembly Hall against Ottawa. We're going to move over to the Colts and start previewing tonight's Monday Night Football game in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. We are leading you up to 7:30 for Bob Lamy and the Colts radio broadcast of their pregame for tonight's Monday Night Football game, Colts at Carolina. So certainly a daunting task in front of them, the undefeated Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton having an MVP season. Meanwhile, the Colts can't beat anybody yet outside of their own division. Luckily, they are in the worst division in football, at least arguably, but it's hard to argue any others are worse than Houston, Jacksonville, and Tennessee. But the Colts, again, just cannot get anything going. Had a nice game and a loss at home against the New England Patriots, but followed that up with a stinker at home against the Saints, and now they go up against a darn good defense. And Glass, what stands out to me looking at the statistics and things for the Colts this year, I mean, there's so much to talk about with Andrew Luck struggling. The offensive line's a mess. The defense, it hasn't been awful, but it's not, you're not going to talk about it being great. But what stood out to me is the Colts are in the bottom seven, I believe it is, in scoring points at this point in time. This is with Andrew Luck and Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen and Frank Gore and Ahmad Bradshaw and T.Y. Hilton and the draft pick Dorsett, who's out now for a while, and Andre Johnson and Dante Moncrief. And I mean, keep going down the list of skill guys on the offensive side of the things, and they're one of the worst teams scoring-wise in the NFL right now. And here you are, you're going up against a Carolina team that's given up 110 points in six games and is one of the better defenses out there, two of the better linebackers in the entire NFL. Not the game to get healthy on the offensive side of things, certainly, and to do it on the road, apparently in the rain, might be even worse. And it's a daunting schedule coming up, because they've got Atlanta coming up. They've got Denver, I believe, is the week after this, who just added Vernon Davis. It doesn't get easier. The only good news is they play bye in 2 weeks, and that might be the best game of the year for them.
BYE, yep, you got to get healthy at some point. And how healthy is Andrew Luck? Well, the rumors and speculation surrounding the Colts quarterback continued, thanks to Jay Glazer's breaking news on Sunday morning that the Colts quarterback possibly has been playing since week three with broken ribs. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
That it starts to make some sense if he's got a shoulder issue and broken ribs, and you wonder why he doesn't look normal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not the downfall of the Western Empire or the free world, but there's something to be said about a guy not firing at his level who's not 100% with multiple injuries. Now, do we know if it's true? I don't know if it's true. But the one thing we know the Colts need to do a better job of is balance. They can't give up on the running game. Is a wet night going to help them? I would think it does, where you want to keep the ball in his hands. You know what it also does? Your quarterback doesn't get hit 25 times if Gore carries it 25 times. Or if Gore carries it 16 times and Bradshaw carries it 9, that's 25 dropbacks I can guarantee that Andrew Luck will not be hit in said shoulder or said ribcage.
Right.
So that's a good start.
It'd be nice.
Isn't it? Well, yeah. So that's another thing you have to look out for tonight. And the Colts defense, again, hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been great. They haven't been put in the best of circumstances throughout it. They've had injury problems in their secondary as well. They've had injury and missing people, for lack of Jonathan Newsom's a healthy scratch. Why isn't he playing?
Mm-hmm.
You just keep going through all of this, and there hasn't been anything you can point to and say, well, that's worked out. It hasn't. Even Vontae Davis has given up some touchdown passes.
Yep.
So for the Colts right now, I think the best tonic for them is in the next 6 days, they're playing two of the four best football teams in the National Football League based on records.
Mm-hmm.
And you're either going to fix it real quick or you're going to get smacked around real quick. And hopefully somewhere in between there, I would sign for 1-1 right now, wouldn't you?
These two games?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sign up and take it
absolutely.
Right now.
Home game next Sunday, 4:30 against Denver. The Denver Broncos, who are still undefeated.
Exactly right. So there are opportunities. That's how these teams look at this stuff. The Colts aren't mailing in their season or saying, hey, we just have to go 6-0 in our division. That gets us to six wins, and we'll take our chances there. That's not how it works. But I think we can all admit that Andrew Luck hasn't played his best. I think we can admit that that has a severe trickle-down effect on anything offensively this team is trying to do. And the defense, who has played good in spots, well, no Mike Adams. He's back tonight, thankfully. Mm-hmm. You've missed him. Greg Toler was out for a handful of games to get the year started.
Yep.
Newsom's a healthy scratch. Verner's been hurt. Yeah, it's life in the NFL. You heard about the 20 guys that are hurt today that are probably on half your rotisserie teams. It happens. And the guys that survive and the guys that get around it are usually the teams that make the playoffs. And the Colts have found a way to avoid most of that, but that has not been the case this year.
No, they've been banged up. It's hurt them. And again, at spots, really the corner and the wide receiver are the only spots you can talk about the Colts' depth to begin the season. But then you've got
Butler
two.
Had a hip,
well, exactly.
And Toler
when you
problem,
started the season with Butler and Toler both out, and then you lost the backup that ended up starting over both of them when they were hurt and filled in. He's out for the year now too. They're getting healthier at least at that spot. Lowry's been healthy. Adams is back tonight. But they're certainly starting to get back healthy at that spot. Linebackers are guys that I haven't seen make plays at all this year.
I guess DeQuell Jackson leads the league in tackles, but
yeah,
that's the fact.
And if he does, that's great.
Yeah.
you know.
But if he's making them 9 yards down the field, it doesn't matter.
Well, exactly. I mean, the defense has not been as bad as I feared it might be. And to be fair, I think a lot of it has to do with the two draft picks and the one free agent ad up front, because that's the one spot, knock on wood, we haven't seen injuries, is you got Dave Perry, Henry Anderson, and Kendall Langford have managed to play pretty much the entire season at this point and playing a lot of numbers. They put in some guys behind them, you know, Billy Winn and guys like this that have played pretty decently behind them.
They've run in a bunch of guys in that spot.
Yeah, exactly. But they're doing a nice job up front. It's not great, but it's a nice job. You know, it's going a little unheralded at this point in time because they're 3-4. But the linebackers behind them, to me, aren't making as very many plays. And pass rush-wise, you're getting next to no pass rush. Robert Mathis, I think, might have one sack. Trent Cole doesn't have any sacks. Bjorn Warner, they moved him behind Eric Walden, and now Eric Walden might be your best pass rusher. And he's your run guy at the outside linebacker position. So it's still kind of a mess on the defensive side. The defense can at least, I think, keep the team in this game. Want to deal with Denver yet, but for tonight, a physical game, I think they can at the very least keep themselves, the team, in this particular game.
Cam Newton can run the ball. Jonathan Stewart runs the ball all over everybody. I just saw a stat here. He's the leading rusher in the NFL from week 13 of last year to this point, so he's firing along. Carolina's had 17 straight games of at least 100 yards rushing. So guess what you need to do? Make Cam Newton throw the football. Why? Mm-hmm. He is completing a career low 55.8% of his passes. What does that fit into? What strength? The Colts secondary, I would think. So Dave, if they can take away the run, get them off schedule, get some third and distance plays and not get painted up down the sidelines or wherever else it was going to be. Tight end matchup is Olsen. The Colts linebackers have struggled with tight ends. Yep. We've seen that. So, again, the Minuski defense has been okay. But the best offense for that defense is when Andrew Luck puts points on the board.
Sure.
And if you're down 17-0 trying to hold the fort, and you're down 13-0, 14-3, whatever it is, it just keeps putting pressure and pressure on them. And a team that we just told you that likes to run the ball has a dual-threat quarterback who has 37 rushing touchdowns in his career. Yeah. Well, guess what that does? That chews the clock. In a big, wet, heavy field, keeps your defense on the field. Those are recipes for disaster. So the Colts, they have to be better. They have to be better offensively. They have to keep their defense off the field. And how do you do that? For me, it's simple. Look what Drew Brees did to him. 19-21.
Yeah.
One step, throw it, let your receivers make a play. It doesn't have to be seven steps down the field. So it'll be interesting to see what Pep Hamilton has in mind for the game tonight, what kind of calls he has, and how often and frequently the running game is used.
Well, you've got to be able to run the ball when it's raining like this. And again, whether these reports
Gore, don't fumble.
Yeah, whether the reports of the broken ribs for Andrew Luck is true or not.
He's played through him before. He's not going to sit out tonight.
Jay Glazer doesn't tend to get things wrong.
No, he doesn't.
That's the one thing you got to say about Jay. So chances are they're pretty correct. Again, it does lend more credence to the Andrew Luck situation. But again, this team needs to have that. It needs to, at the very least, for protection for Andrew Luck. It's already the offensive line that you've got. You've already screwed that all up in the offseason and in the preseason at this point. They're going to be without Khaled Holmes tonight, so you're probably Jonathan Harrison at center, who's not been stellar when he's in there. So we'll see what he can do also. But it's a tough ask, certainly for the Colts. We'll talk a little bit more about their chances when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Taking you up until 7:30, and the Colts network broadcast of Monday Night Football takes over. Bob Lamy and crew with their one-hour pregame starting at 7:30 here on WGCL. Again, leading up to kickoff just after 8:30 for the Colts at Carolina. If you're nerdy like this, we'll give you the Colts inactives for tonight. Philip Dorsett, who's out for a few weeks now. He's on the active roster, which means they think he's can come back from his ankle surgery. I believe he had surgery. But he's inactive tonight and will be for a few weeks. Winston Guy, cornerback. Josh Robinson, running back. Nate Irving, linebacker. Khaled Holmes, that's kind of the big one. He's your starting center. This will be the second week in a row he's had issues and is inactive completely. Denzel Good, drafted lineman, who's probably the last on the list there. And Zach Kerr, a defensive lineman. So Going with all the linebackers tonight, if Jonathan Newsome and Bjorn Warner are active, and Walden, of course, and the crew, Trent Cole, and Robert Mathis. So wanting athletes in space for tonight against a good offense, a good running game, as Jonathan Stewart is still there. Cam Newton is, again, having an MVP type of season right now, and they are undefeated. Leading up for a pretty good defense here for Carolina, and that, of course, for the Colts is up against their strength. But on the other side, I mean, they've got to find a way tonight to slow down Cam Newton. And as you mentioned, not a great passer right now, and probably never will be, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady passing the ball. But you've got to find a way up front. And they did better against New England when they've been steamrolled by New England in the past. They did better against the run game. Perhaps that gives you some hope for tonight and going forward. But that's the first thing you got to stop is take away the obvious. Take away between the tackles. Take away Cam Newton as best you can tonight because you got to make him make choices.
Number one in the league, and if you're going to pack the box, well, as we told you, Newton's having his worst season with the accuracy and throwing a little rain, Dave. Hey, maybe it's a turnover or two for the defense. But what the Colts can't do is first down 6 yards, left tackle, second down 5 yards, right tackle. First down, 6 yards up the middle, whatever it is, That's not going to help them.
Drip, drip, drip.
It is. And if the rain's going to be like that as well, what do the Colts like to do? Like to take shots down the field. That's where it is, and that makes it harder to do. And when you're chasing the game, it just seems like the Colts have chased every week. Has there been one week where you just sat back and went, this has been easy? And there probably has been one, but nothing jumps off the page right now. Even the two games at Hasselback won.
The good news is it does appear that Carolina's starting center, as a former All-Pro Ryan Khalil, will miss the game tonight.
Well, so will the Colts. So I don't know how that helps or hurts anything either. So the NFL always comes down to it's almost a war of an attrition. And teams that play above board on the part of the game that they usually don't are usually the ones that win. How did Tampa beat Atlanta in Atlanta yesterday? They're up 20-0 in the game, whatever. They hang on to win in overtime. Well, I'm guessing they didn't turn the ball over, and Matt Ryan did. Oh, yeah, Matt Ryan had 4 picks, and Jameis Winston didn't have any. Well, that's how you – those are the things. It doesn't matter who's playing who. If the Colts can force some turnovers and Frank Gore can run for 75 to 80 yards and you get 35-40 out of Bradshaw, all of a sudden they're controlling the clock and letting Carolina slop around in it. It's so easy on paper, Dave, but it's so fascinating to watch. And that's why these games all get humongous ratings, because you can't make up how half the stuff happens. But the Colts should have the advantage in special teams. Now you got Ann Vinatieri kicking on a wet field. Now you got Pat McAfee catching snaps on a wet field. That's not stuff that they always have to deal with in the friendly confines of Lucas Oil Stadium. And when it goes bad, it tends to go bad until you find a way out of it. And if Carolina wants to present gifts tonight, the Colts will take them with open arms.
Yeah.
But what it can't happen, it can't be 20-0 again. You can't put all that pressure on the offense to come back and do it, because the Colts haven't shown you anything 72 with the roof on, no precipitation, let alone in adverse situations against a team that's won 10 consecutive regular season games. That's the longest streak in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, they've been excellent. They have not been blowing people out. I count one game of a double-digit win, and that was at Tampa Bay, so that's a really nice win. I actually make it two. They won at Jacksonville 20-9, but again, this is Jacksonville 20-9. It does not wow you. They did beat New Orleans in Carolina 27-22 for some comparison's sake.
Slowed down that Drew Brees guy,
Beat Houston 24-17, so, I mean, they've got some of these minor comparison things here, but it's been 27-27. I mean, three of their games are 27 points. One is 24. One is 20. They scored 37. So unless something happens tonight and the Colts D just doesn't show up, the Carolina is not going to threaten you with tons and tons of points.
Unless you give them the ball in a short
field. Unless, again, you do something to give them some help. Exactly.
And that's the Colts bailed out New Orleans' defense, throwing picks at the goal line, throwing picks in places you shouldn't do that. And you just don't know what is wrong or right with Andrew Luck. You hope each week it's getting better, and if you can keep them cleaner than normal, that's not going to hurt your chances at all. But the Colts beat teams, Dave, when they spread the football around, when they get balance. Andrew Luck has 45 or more attempts. It's usually not a good thing for this team.
And don't make mistakes. I mean, do not
that's
turn
it.
The ball over.
It sounds so easy. What could possibly go wrong? I think the Colts, too, with the back against the wall, they've lost 3 home games this year.
Yeah.
And how many have they lost on the road? Just one?
At Buffalo.
That's it.
That's it.
Maybe they find a little salvation away from the peering eyes and the harsh Indianapolis
media. Well, the only other games they played on the road are against our favorite and they won teams those. In the AFC South.
And they won those. So that's that, again, is the good news. But I think tonight, if Andrew Luck gets a balanced running attack, and that means Andrew Luck has to stick with the calls from Pep Hamilton and not get out of it. He's going to have to trust it. It has to work. That's going to keep him upright longer. It's going to keep the hits off of him longer. And but we saw against New Orleans, Dave, when you're down 20 to nothing, you still have to run it to some semblance.
Yeah.
You can't just abandon completely because you're too easy to defend. And even though the Colts had a nice comeback, should have recovered the onside kick, you can talk about these things till you're blue in the face. They didn't. They put themselves in a situation where it had to be perfect. Every single little thing had to work to have a chance to win it at the end. And when you do that in the National Football League, again, the example I had earlier, Tampa Bay is up 20 to nothing in Atlanta because Ryan throws four picks. Atlanta comes all the way back and ties it. Forces it to overtime. Guess what happens? They can't get anything going in overtime, and Tampa kicks a field goal and beats them because it has to be perfect when you get down that much. I'd love to see a game like the Saints and Giants yesterday where there's 13 touchdown passes and one interception, and whoever has the ball last wins, but the weather conditions I don't think are going to call for that this evening as the rain continues.
I mean,
to
look,
fall.
We keep talking about the other alternative is simply to spread it out and make sure that you get the ball out of his hand fast.
Yeah.
You do what New England's been doing, and again, they're very successful at this most of the time. It's just underneath stuff, crossing routes, quick stuff, you know, man beaters, that sort of thing.
At one point, the Giants-Saints game yesterday, 9 touchdown passes, 7 incompletions combined.
Look, that would benefit the Colts tonight.
That would, because they'd have more of those touchdown passes.
I wouldn't count on it. This is a darn good Carolina defense, but we will see. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Just about 10 minutes away here, we'll turn it over to Bob Lamy for pregame of the Colts Network broadcast of Monday Night Football. Colts at Carolina. Kickoff will be around 8:30. Let's talk a little bit more generally here because there's been so much floating around, and certainly the lack of success this season, 3-4 for the Colts, has got a lot to do with this, amped up the last couple weeks and in the first couple weeks, and not when they win. But just your own opinion at this point in time. Changes made in the front office, changes made at coach. I mean, do you think anything is imminent with at the very least the coaching? I don't know if they'd make a change with GM in the middle of the season.
But with
coaching in the middle of the season, no. This is a rough stretch. They got Denver, they got a bye week coming up, and they're at Atlanta.
Who's going to fix that? Who's going to fix that?
Pep Hamilton?
That's
Clyde Christensen?
That's what
I don't know.
Rob Chudzinski? That's where you're at right now.
They've got some guys with experience there, but yeah.
But even if you bring the new guy in and you get beat by Atlanta, Denver, and Carolina in the next 3 weeks, you're still getting beat by Atlanta, Denver, and
still
Carolina.
Still got to play those guys.
Is the message lost in the dressing room? I don't think so, because you don't see the Colts come out and fall all over themselves. Now, are they making some bad plays? I think all football teams make bad plays. Is Andrew Luck making bad decisions? Yes. You can see in the interceptions. Is he hurt? Well, if you want to get on him for one thing, you tell him a guy with broken ribs and a bad shoulder needs to sit out.
Well, yeah.
Now, if you want to get on him about something, you say, hey, you're hurting.
You're hurting it, yep.
And you're hurting us at the same time. So if you that's my angle. Because if you're going to sell me a bill of goods that Luck has this, and it's a bruised shoulder, okay? And then it comes out he's got other problems with him. Well, why wouldn't you just tell it's other problems? Why would you want this charade to go on that Luck? Bob Kravitz writes a column the other day about how he's regressed. Yeah. Well, geez, Bob, can you get the facts for a minute?
Well, exactly.
Like, sell your newspapers. I get it, or wherever you do these days. But the point is, people hear that. Why didn't you come clean with it and say, well, we don't want teams to tackle him harder? Well, the only place you can tackle the quarterback anymore is in the rib cage. You can't tackle his knees.
And
you can't tackle his head.
Yeah.
Well,
where else
can you tackle
exposed.
Him?
I mean, it's not like you're not going to hit him there.
And Luck runs for first downs, and he dives for first downs, and he dives at the goal line, and he does all that. And if it's not helping your football team, Is Matt Hasselbeck the answer to that question?
Well, see, my only issue right now, if you talk about making changes, is I think by far, to me, the worst thing that I saw out of this team all year long was that first half against New Orleans. Their defense just
everything
had no clue.
Stunk.
Offense was just getting beat all over the place. It looked like they didn't show up for the first half of that game. Now, coming off the New England game, is there a headache, you know, a hangover or something like that? You still got to play through it. And they didn't recover until they came out in the second half.
And
they didn't come out like gangbusters.
No, and
their defense was better.
Did nothing to help that.
No, it didn't.
You can't play one-sided football. Yeah. If there's three phases, you can't leave two of them out to dry. Because the only thing that helps you there is a slew of turnovers. And that just doesn't happen very much.
Does getting beat 30-3 tonight change your mind?
I don't think it does. It's going to be how you get beat. But again, look at the end of the year. If the Colts end up going 9-7 and going to the playoffs,
I mean,
with all this stuff we've just laid out over the last 40 minutes, that's pretty good. And there's only a handful of teams every year you look back and say, oh, wow. The reason people are upset is quite simple. The level of expectation put on this team by the national media, the local media, before the ball was even snapped this year. The fantasy football world, the armchair general manager world, hey, Todd Harriman's, Trent Cole, Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, they have to perform.
Jim Irsay helped put some of that on there, talking about how many Super Bowls he wants to win out of Andrew Luck. So,
what is your owner going to say?
They have put some of this on themselves.
Yes,
there's no question.
And people have picked up it and ran with it who have not paid attention to the Colts, who have not paid attention to how this team has been built. There's some people in the national media just waking up week five this year going, hey,
oh my gosh, what's wrong with their offensive line?
They don't have
line?
A line? Yeah. Why is their defense giving up all this, that, and the other thing? It's, well, where you been? But that extra Mike and Mike-ism makes everybody aware of it instead of just the people that pay attention to it and the diehard fans. Now the casual people say, oh man, what's wrong with Andrew Luck?
Right.
Peyton Manning was 6-10 in his fourth year, folks. You want to abandon ship?
Here's what's interesting.
6-10.
What's interesting. You go down the list here. You know, the chances of them not winning the AFC South are not very good because the AFC South stinks. You still have to win other games other than just the
two
AFC
of the three
South,
at home.
Presumably, to do it. I mean, it's not a head-to-head only. Nope. That's your tiebreaker. So you've got to continue to win a couple more games, at least than a Houston team.
But if you beat all the teams in your division,
it's a nice place to start. Yep. That's six wins if you do that. But 6-10 is not going to be the most thrilling playoff team in the world. It will, however, be a playoff team if it gets to that point. So you win the division, you go to the playoffs, but it's entirely feasible at this point in time. You're looking for a new coach and a new general manager before or at the end of the season.
And I think Irsay has obviously not been against this because he has not come out and squashed all the rumors that that's not going to happen. He hasn't extended Pagano.
He hasn't come out and shut up. I mean, it's something he doesn't like to do, but he hasn't said much of anything.
And the problem with this is, when is the message leave the locker room? That's the angle. Larry Bird tells you it's 5 years in basketball. I'm guessing it's not much longer in football.
Yeah.
But the point is, Andrew Luck entering his prime, do you want to sit back and waste some of those years, quote unquote? Well, they put a roster together now with old man Harriman's, with old man Cole, with some of these veteran guys that they've picked up. They've drafted toys for the toy box.
Yeah.
Which tells me they want to win right now. So I can see why they would be upset, because their plan isn't working.
Yeah, you don't go for 32-year-olds.
Andre
at
Johnson,
key spots.
Frank Gore, right. Harriman's, Cole.
Exactly right.
Langford
is a little younger, but yeah, he's another
20s,
one who was brought in. Lowry was 33.
Dwight Lowry,
yep.
Absolutely right. Mike Adams re-signed at 34.
DeQuell Jackson the year before was a 32-year-old.
These are guys that need to win now, and when the plan doesn't work now, you should be upset. You should absolutely be right. And if Andrew Luck was 100% healthy, I think the knives would be sharpening. He's not. And there is you take him out of this game, this team, for the last 3 years, you're not talking about 11-5.
No.
You're not. You're not doing it. He single-handedly lost you a handful of those games, and he won you more than he lost.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Hasselbeck, to be fair, played awfully well when he filled in, but he's not a long-term answer, and he'd tell you that himself.
No.
He did a nice job with getting the ball out of his hands awfully quickly, and he also did it against two of the worst teams in the league that just so happened to be in your division, thank God.
But when you think about those games, what's left out is, was Luck healing a shoulder? Or healing a shoulder and ribs.
And ribs, right.
Well, that's a big difference.
Right.
You heard Jack Trudeau, if you saw in one of the articles today, he said when he broke his ribs, he's played college pro football mm-hmm. for many years. He's got a better viewpoint than I do.
Sure.
Says, it felt like I was dying.
Oh, yeah. Everything I've heard is that
cough,
it's
sneeze,
horrible.
Fart,
yeah.
whatever you do, yeah. it's not good. So imagine playing quarterback.
Well, what's ironic about that, of course, is there's two spots that, you know, for sports just absolutely kill you.
Back.
And it's your, well, that one too. But your ribs, I mean, because you just
can't
move, and then your big toe.
There you go.
I mean,
can't
the two
run.
Things that, that you wouldn't think
and
would knock you out.
Stub
but,
it.
Yeah, but they do.
Well, that's a problem. And there's two things in the NFL, in my opinion. You're either hurt or you're hurt real bad. Because there's nobody that feels good in week
seven
or eight.
Everybody's playing through some kind of
Everybody's
pain.
Playing through something. But if this comes out that Luck has been playing with broken ribs and a broken shoulder, I think accurately you can ask the question, well, why didn't Hasselbeck play the next two games to get through it? Because the Colts don't get any money from TV ratings. The TV contracts are signed for the next five or six years.
Right,
They're done.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to play.
Right.
He doesn't have to go out there. Aaron Rodgers threw for 77 yards last night on national television.
Look,
they did a rating.
They played their best
in
against
a simplified,
New England. When they lost. I mean, that
they
was
did.
The best football across the board you saw out of them. It wasn't great necessarily, but it was the best you've seen out of that team this year. You could argue maybe late in the Tennessee game with the comeback, okay. But I thought to me it was New England, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. It was decent against the run. Offensively, they kept up for a good long while.
But just to put your point in perspective.
To me, Andrew Luck does not look like he's horribly broken. I understand he's banged up. He's not right. To me, he looks more skittish. He looks to me like he's sick of getting hit. And again, this is what I've talked about for 3.5 years.
The New Orleans Saints.
He's getting hit all the time. He's been hit more than any other quarterback in the league.
The New Orleans Saints went home yesterday and gave up 6 touchdowns and no interceptions to Eli Manning and won the football game. Okay? On their home field. Andrew Luck had that same defense the week before in his stadium and managed 2 long touchdown passes. 52 to 49. So, again, there is problems with the offense, and there's obviously problems with the defense because Breeze has shown he is rounding into form, which you would hope when Luck gets healthy. He will round into the same form because we've seen when he is healthy, he makes really good decisions for the most part. He does light up the stat sheet. He does find receivers everywhere, and he's smart enough to see the game develop in front of him. Andrew Luck, is it one more year of tape where people have caught up to him a little bit? Yeah. Is it Pep Hamilton not being in the league long enough to get – the shifts and struggles?
Look, everybody.
I think it's a little bit of everything.
Everybody turns on the guy that they ask to make all the plays. And you've seen this out of the national media for a couple weeks now. Everybody's talking about whether Andrew Luck has regressed or if he stinks or all these sorts of things. If you watch it closely like we do, you see that the rest of the team ain't pulling
their
weight.
He's dying. He's alone.
Again, you got to build the offensive line. You've got to have something up front to help him out. And they've managed to screw that up tonight at Carolina. Do they walk out of there with a win?
No, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than we all expect because I think the weather is going to help that. I think the Colts are going to get better as it goes on. I don't see them regressing unless he just gets lit up and the line collapses around him. Jonathan Harrison in place of Khalid Holmes. Field goal game, you hope it's Vinatieri with the last say. Beating the Panthers at the buzzer.
You'd like that to be the case. You get a couple of turnovers, you're in this game perhaps, but you cannot give them up. You got to keep Luck upright. Look, this is a dangerous defense for him to try to make plays and try to go down the field too much, running the ball at the very least with a banged-up guy. So take it easy. Let's make our way through the season and not get too concerned. They lose tonight, 31-18. Music means, folks, we got to head on out of here. We'll be back with you Wednesday, 6 o'clock, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.